Welcome to the show. We are just weeks away from Election Day 2024. That begs the question, who will win? I have no idea, but I do know something shady has been brewing for some time, and I want to share it with you today so you are prepared.
The Dr. Reality Vodcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. Roger Stone was recorded describing the tactics that would eventually be known as Stop the Steal in July 2020, 4 months before the election. Those tactics included refusing to acknowledge a loss and claiming the other side had cheated. Reporter Donnie O'Sullivan attended a meeting of Trump supporters in an Arizona hotel conference room in October 2020, a month before the election. O'Sullivan reported that several of the speakers told those in attendance that there were only two possible outcomes. One was that Donald Trump would win by a landslide. The other was that Trump would lose, which, the speaker said, would prove that widespread Democrat-controlled election fraud had occurred. Keeping in mind that before a single ballot had been cast, they were already saying that Trump losing would prove election fraud. In other words, the message was this: if we get our way, everything worked properly. But if we don't get our way, then the other side cheated. It's hard to imagine a more candy-ass, unmanly, victimhood mentality than that. The reason I shared those stories with you about the pre-election plan to claim election fraud if Trump lost in 2022 is because it's happening again right now. As I'm recording this, we're several weeks from Election Day, and notable Trump supporters in various states are already making the same claims. Today, I thought we might consider what a person has to be willing to accept in order to believe that if Trump loses, it's because of widespread Democrat-controlled election fraud. So first, for those who have bought into the narrative that Trump lost the 2020 election due to widespread Democrat-controlled election fraud, you should take stock of the fact that Republicans who have been concerned about election integrity have had 4 years to put in place laws and policies at the county and state levels to ensure the 2024 election does not involve any meaningful amount of election fraud. I say meaningful amount of election fraud because there will always be some jerk or a couple of jerks who will try to get away with something. But of course, a couple of jerks trying to pull a fast one doesn't alter the outcome of an election. Having said concerned Republicans have had 4 years to make the changes they desire, that obviously does not apply to jurisdictions where Democrats hold the majority. And that brings us to my next point, which I'll state in the form of a question. In jurisdictions where Democrats are the majority, why would they have to engage in election fraud for their candidates to win? Now let's consider jurisdictions in which Democrats and Republicans are split pretty much down the middle. This would be a setting in which Stop the Steal folks would say Democrats are engaged in widespread election fraud. Let's use Dallas County, Texas for this illustration. Dallas County contains the city of Dallas, a major metropolitan center, as well as communities with as few as 100 residents, and Texas is split almost half and half when it comes to registered Republicans and Democrats. The Dallas County Election Department has roughly 1,600 employees and fields an additional 3,000 poll workers for Election Day. When we consider that Dallas County has both Democrats and Republicans living there, we can reasonably assume that mix is represented in the election department workforce. So, to believe Democrats committed widespread election fraud in Dallas County in 2020, one would have to believe that thousands of Republican employees and poll workers just stood idly by while their Democrat co-workers stole the election. What do you think the odds are that thousands of Republican employees and poll workers remain silent while Democrats stole the 2020 election? I think it is fair to say that the odds that happened are zero. What do you think the odds are that thousands of Republican employees and poll workers will remain silent if a Dems attempt to steal the 2024 election? I think we can safely say the odds of that are also zero. I'll go further and say that the idea that Democrats stole the election in Dallas County is preposterous. Now let's turn to jurisdictions that are pretty much solid red. In 2020, Trump took those locations by storm. In 2020, Trump won Nye County, where I live, with 69% of the votes. As a side note, that was down from 82% in 2016. So where were the allegations of widespread Democrat-controlled election fraud in my county? There wasn't any. That's because Trump won. And that takes us back to the absurdly self-serving position that where Trump won, the election was fair and honest, but where Trump lost, the election was stolen. Even with thousands of Republicans working the polls and involved in counting the ballots. Stop the Steal, folks, would have us believe election fraud is pervasive and taking place on a grand scale. Okay, so how true is that? Before I get into the numbers, I should mention that this presentation is intended for rational people. There is no amount of evidence or factual numbers that will change the minds of the Stop the Steal folks. They aren't part of the Stop the Steal movement because of facts. They're part of the Stop the Steal movement despite the facts. So it's unlikely anything I present today will change their position. In April 2022, Florida's State Election Fraud Task Force went into operation. It was created by a law passed by the legislature and signed by Governor DeSantis. Its mission is to track down election fraud in all its various permutations, arrest the fraudsters, and see that they're prosecuted. While exact numbers are a little hard to come by, a reasonable analysis of the available records indicate that in the last 28 months, the Election Fraud Task Force has arrested less than 100 people. That's less than 100 people in a state with a population of more than 23 million. That's just a bit more than 0.4%. But it's even less than that, because most of the people arrested were never prosecuted. Many of the people arrested legitimately thought they were legally qualified to vote. If one believed at the time he or she voted that they were in compliance with the law, there is no criminal intent, which prevents the state from prosecuting them. So, in a state with a task force dedicated exclusively to election fraud, in just shy of 2.5 years, they've arrested less than 100 people, and it appears less than 50 of those were prosecuted. That should give you some idea of the scale of the problem. Or maybe I should say lack of scale. Let's focus on evidence for a moment. Whether we're talking about human physiology or law, I'm an evidence guy. I wrote Income Tax Shattering the Myth, the best-selling book in the nation that explains the truth that Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary, hardworking Americans. The reason Income Tax Shattering the Myth is the best-selling book on the subject is it presents mountains of evidence. No one has to believe anything I say in Income Tax Shattering the Myth because everything is based on evidence. In fact, in the introduction, I say this. I do not want you to take my word for it. I want you to see the facts for yourself. Facts are stubborn things. Because I don't want anyone to take my word for anything, and I want them to do their own research, Income Tax Shattering the Myth includes a table of legal authorities and a highly detailed index. Those resources are there to make it easy for readers to verify the evidence that's presented to them. I do the same thing in Body Science, my groundbreaking book on human physiology. The difference between the physiological science I present in Body Science and what the public has been led to believe by so-called experts is so shocking, I say this. Quote, "But please, do not believe me. This is a theme in all my various works. Please do not believe me. I encourage you to do your own in-depth research after you complete this book." Close quote. I encourage people not to believe me, but to do their own research because everything I present is based on hard, indisputable evidence. So then, what constitutes evidence in terms of alleging election fraud? Well, that depends on where it is alleged. When people are speaking to others in casual conversation or on social media, zero evidence is required. In that setting, people can say whatever they want without regard to evidence. In many cases, when speaking casually, a person will claim that some other guy said something that proves election fraud, or the person speaking will say the proof is on YouTube. Another setting in which election fraud can be alleged is a court of law. In the courtroom setting, evidence is mandatory and has a specific meaning. So what is evidence in a courtroom? Well, evidence can take several forms. One form is documents, more properly referred to in law as writings. Another form of evidence is sworn testimony given by a witness. As I'm sure you're aware, all legal proceedings are adversarial. In other words, each side is attempting to use evidence and the rules of evidence to show their position is factually true and/or the other side's assertions are not factually true. To convince a jury who they should see as credible and who they should not, writings submitted as evidence can be challenged. Such challenges can be based on several issues such as authenticity, relevance, or factualness of content. In short, writings submitted to a court as evidence by one side can be challenged by the other side. Clearly, the standard for evidence in the form of writings in a courtroom is completely different from some guy at a bar or on social media asserting election fraud took place. Before I delve into witness testimony, please take a moment to subscribe to the channel and like the video so the algorithms will show it to more people. Thank you for that. Let's talk about personal testimony. All personal testimony must be sworn, meaning you take an oath to tell the truth, and if you are caught lying, you can be prosecuted for a felony and put in prison. Just as with writings, witness testimony can be challenged. The most common form of that is cross-examination, which you've all seen on TV shows. The questions asked by the attorney conducting the cross-examination seek to show the witness's testimony is not factual or inconsistent, biased, or otherwise non-credible. Sometimes the witness's testimony is bulletproof. Other times, cross-examination reveals serious flaws that will cause a jury to dismiss or minimize the significance of the witness's testimony. Occasionally, cross-examination will reveal the witness is lying, which can result in the witness being convicted of perjury, which is a felony. The important thing to keep in mind is that if a witness's testimony can't survive cross-examination, the consequence may be that the side for whom the witness is testifying will lose the case. This illustrates, again, that the standard for evidence in the form of witness testimony has virtually nothing to do with some guy blabbing in a bar or on social media about election fraud. I wanted to make sure you understand how courtroom evidence works to make a particular point. After the 2020 election, Donald Trump and groups acting on his behalf filed roughly 65 lawsuits alleging election fraud. While some were dismissed for lack of standing, most were dismissed for lack of evidence. In some cases, attorneys were sanctioned for filing frivolous suits. In other words, their initial pleadings alleged justiciable issues, but when it came time to present the evidence, plaintiffs' attorneys didn't. Phrased another way, when it came time to enter evidence into the record, the plaintiffs' attorneys didn't have any. So what about the bloggers and social media influencers claiming they have all the evidence anyone could ever need to prove election fraud? Why didn't they take the stand in those 65 cases? Because bloggers and influencers depend on audience size to generate income. If they'd taken the stand in any of those cases and had their rhetoric obliterated on cross-examination, they would have lost a shit ton of credibility, and with that, a significant chunk of their followers, which would translate into lost revenue. Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, is one of the most notable people for claiming over and over again to possess evidence that election fraud took place. So why didn't Lindell take the stand in any of those 65 cases? Well, because he can't. He isn't the one who put together the so-called evidence. Lindell merely received it from others. So why didn't those who put the so-called evidence together and gave it to Lindell take the stand in any of the election fraud cases? Simple. They know that real expert witnesses would obliterate their credibility, and under cross-examination, they would be shown to have been morons or liars. I should probably let you know that I've testified in dozens of court cases, including as an expert witness. The parties for which I have testified have never lost their case. In one criminal case in which I testified as an expert witness, the jury acquitted the defendant because my testimony convinced them the arresting officer had lied in his report, which he had. I have been questioned on direct, cross-examination, redirect, and recross. That said, I don't want to make too much of my experience testifying because I've always testified on behalf of the party I believed was in the right, and of course, I've always testified truthfully. I share with you that I've testified many times to make the point that what I'm telling you today is not hypothetical. I know how the evidentiary process works. Understanding how the process works allows me to see clearly why no one testified under oath and no writings were submitted into evidence in any of those 65 cases. The reason I'm trying to impart to you today why no one testified under oath and no writings were submitted into evidence in any of those 65 cases is because if Trump loses the election in November, we will see a replay of the 2020 Stop the Steal narrative with just as much evidence, which is to say, none. I'm sure someone out there is thinking that no one can prove a negative, so when I say there is no meaningful evidence of widespread Democrat-controlled election fraud, I can't prove that evidence does not exist. And as far as that goes, it's true. But how many court cases in which no evidence was presented does it take before a reasonable person acknowledges that the failure to put any writings or witness testimony into evidence is an incredibly strong indicator that no evidence exists? Is it 2 cases, 5 cases, 15 cases, 30, 50? I leave it to you to answer that question. I imagine one of the most interesting things about today's presentation is how it will be received. I haven't presented it for political reasons. I presented it in the hope that everyone on all sides of the political spectrum will consider any election fraud claims within the framework discussed here today, which is evidence. Trump supporters, let me ask you a question. How much do you trust the federal government? Is the answer somewhere between not at all and not very much? If so, you should absolutely be reading Income Tax Shattering the Myths. Unless, of course, you want to keep funding a government you say you detest by allowing yourself to continue to be fooled by the very government you say you don't trust. If you genuinely distrust the government, don't you want to know if the government is scamming you out of your property? If I'm right, which I am, shouldn't you want to get informed so you can stop participating in the government scam? It's simple to do. I haven't filed or paid a penny in income tax in 31 years. But the first step is to learn how the scam is being run on you. Only then can you decide whether you've had enough of being defrauded. Now let me speak to the folks who are middle of the road, or maybe lean left. Should you read Income Tax Shattering the Myths? That depends on whether you want to hold on to the trust you have in the federal government. You can avoid reading Income Tax Shattering the Myths because you want to maintain your emotional attachment to the idea that the government is good and trustworthy, or at least not so horrible it would commit the largest financial crime in world history against the very population it ostensibly exists to serve. Or you can read Income Tax Shattering the Myths and have that comforting facade ripped away. So, what are you into? Comforting lies or uncomfortable truths? My view is every single American should know the truth that the income tax has never been imposed on ordinary, hardworking Americans like you. I don't mean to know it in some abstract way, but in a very concrete way. You should know this truth with the same certainty as you know your own name. Even if you choose not to do anything with what you learn, at a minimum, you should be able to speak authoritatively to others about it so that, in time, enough Americans will learn the truth that the scam will collapse. And what could be better than that? As Sun Tzu said, the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. If learning the truth and telling others about it will result in the scam collapsing without a fight, isn't that what we should want? As I mentioned in the beginning, the reason Income Tax Shattering the Myths is the nation's best-selling book on the subject is because it's based 100% on evidence. Because of that, countless thousands of Americans have already safely walked away from the income tax scam, having never heard from the IRS again. To get income tax shattering the myths, go to drreality.news, drreality.news. While you're there, also pick up a copy of my groundbreaking work on human physiology, body science. You may have noticed that the health of the American people is sinking like the Titanic. 70% of our population is overweight or obese. Diseases like diabetes and Alzheimer's are exploding. Obesity in children, which was almost unknown a few decades ago, is now commonplace. Due to trillion-dollar industries pouring money into bogus research, fake science is everywhere these days. Corrupt studies are making absurd claims, such as that things like salt or red meat cause type 2 diabetes. In short, America's health is in the shitter and getting worse every day because certain industries and the U.S. government have engaged in massive disinformation. Body science shows you their disinformation and then shows you the factual science of how your body properly operates. 60 years of disinformation has led the people of the wealthiest and most technologically advanced nation on Earth to be the sickest people in all of human history and getting sicker every day. If you read body science and put into action what you learn there, you will leave the ranks of those who are misled and sick and become astoundingly healthy. I practice what I preach. I adhere to everything in body science. And at 65, I'm as healthy as an 18-year-old, or as healthy as 18-year-olds were back when 18-year-olds were healthy. Body science has never gotten anything less than a 5-star rating, and readers rave about the fact that they look and feel decades younger after putting into action the truth they learn in body science. So go to drreality.news and pick up a copy of Income Tax Shattering the Myths and Body Science. They will be two of the most fascinating books you've ever read. My word to you on that. Also, by purchasing Income Tax Shattering the Myths and or Body Science, you help me to continue to be here for you with these revealing and thought-provoking presentations. Please share this information with others. Thanks for being here. Take care.